Title: Collecting Classic Jungle References Efficiently Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. In this lesson, we're going to build a system that makes your jungle referencing fast, consistent, and actually useful while you're producing in Ableton Live. Because here's the truth. If you want your track to actually land in that classic jungle zone, you can't just vibe to a tune on YouTube and hope you remember what made it hit. You need a repeatable way to capture the break feel, the bass pressure, the space, the arrangement moves, and the mix balance, and turn all of that into targets you can act on in your own session. This is an intermediate workflow lesson. I'm assuming you already know your way around Ableton. You can warp audio, you can move around arrangement and session view. The problem we're fixing is that your references are probably scattered and inconsistent. Today we're building one hub that you reuse forever. Let's start with what you're building. By the end of this, you'll have a dedicated Ableton project called a reference hub. Inside it, you'll have a clean reference track lane setup, a full track reference, loop clips for quick comparisons, and a place to drop your current work in progress. You'll also set it up so you can loudness match quickly, add arrangement locators like a producer, and keep notes that tell you why a reference is useful. Most importantly, you'll be able to go from I found a tune to I have usable loops and targets in under 2 minutes once the system is built. Step 1. Create your Jungle Reference Hub project. Open a brand new Live set and save it right away as junglereferencehub.als. Put it in a dedicated folder. In that same folder, create subfolders for your audio and notes. You want one folder for full tracks, one for break sections, one for bass or sub-focused refs, one for atmosphere and mix references, and one for screenshots and notes. Quick coaching note: keep local audio copies when possible, ideally WAV or AF. Streaming sources can change loudness, disappear, or be encoded differently. You want consistency, because consistency is what allows your ears to learn. Step 2. Build the reference track lane. This is the heart of the system. Create 3 audio tracks. Track 1 is REDEF full track. This is where you drop in a full reference tune. When you bring it in, turn warp on. Set warp mode to complex pro. Set formance to 0, and envelope to 128. And just so you understand why, for full tracks, Complex Pro tends to preserve tonal elements better when you're looping and navigating. You're not trying to DJ perfect beat matching here, you're trying to analyze sections without weird pitchy artifacts. If you do need the reference aligned so loops land perfectly on bars, set the segment BPM carefully. But don't obsess. The goal is stable playback and easy looping, not a flawless warp grid on every micro transient. Track 2 is REDEF loops. Duplicate sections from the full track into this lane, and turn them into 8 or 16 bar loops. Think of this as your quick compare lane. Grab an intro texture loop. Grab a drop drum loop. Grab a bass plus drums groove loop. Grab a breakdown atmosphere loop. Then rename those clips with production-friendly names, not just the track title. You want a name that tells you what question this loop answers. For example, drop drums 16, bass weight 8, amen loop 8, breakdown atmo 16. When you come back in 2 weeks, you should know instantly what to click. Track 3 is your track. This is where you bring in your current work in progress bounce, or if you like, you can resample your master and drag that audio in. The point is simple: references and your track live side by side for slash B. Step 3. Loudness match, so your ears stop lying to you. If you compare your WIP to a mastered classic at a louder level, you almost always prefer the louder one. That's not taste, that's biology. So put a utility device on REF full track, and another utility on your track. Keep stereo for now, so make sure mono is off. Adjust the gain until both feel similar in loudness. If you want to be more accurate using only stock devices, add spectrum after utility on both tracks. Set the block size to 8192, and averaging to medium. You're not trying to match the picture, but you can use it to check that your low end isn't wildly off when you /B similar sections. Teacher tip: make this fast. Put utility inside an audio effect rack and map the gain to a macro knob. Do it for both tracks. Name the rack something like /B level. If you have to hunt for tiny gain knobs every time, you won't do it. The whole point is low friction. Optional but really useful: standardize your listening conditions inside the hub, on the master channel of the reference hub only, add a simple monitoring chain, a utility with a mono toggle mapped, then a limiter with the ceiling at -1 dB and no makeup gain, just to prevent surprise level jumps, and then a spectrum after that. Save that as a preset called reference monitoring. Important: this is for the hub, not for your production template. You're creating a consistent measuring environment, not changing how you mix your actual track. Step 4. Add arrangement markers like a producer, not a fan. Go into arrangement view. Find key sections of the reference. The intro, the first drop, the breakdown or midsection, the second drop, and the outro. Add locators with functional names. For example, intro hats and atmos, drop one full break, mid pads and noise, drop two variation. Then here's the powerful part. Copy those locator positions over as targets for your own arrangement. You don't need to copy the exact arrangement, but you can borrow the pacing. Classic jungle reality check. A lot of tunes hit the first drop after 16 or 32 bars, and they often introduce new elements in a disciplined way. Break first, then bass pressure, then stabs and FX. When people say, "My track doesn't feel like jungle," half the time it's because everything arrives at once and nothing evolves. Step 5. Build a break analyzer on your REF loops lane. On the REF loops track, create an auto effect rack and call it break analyzer. Put EQ8 first. High pass around 30 Hz with a steep slope to remove rumble. Then add a bell around 200 Hz and boost it a couple dB temporarily. That's not a mixing move. It's an analysis move. It helps you hear the body and also reveals that cardboard zone when it's excessive. Then add a bell around 3 to 5 kHz and boost lightly to spotlight snare crack and presence. Optionally low pass around 18 kHz if the reference is harsh and you want to focus on the core. Then add drum bus. Keep it subtle, a little drive, cautious boom and some transient emphasis to reveal how the break punch is behaving. Again, this isn't you improving the reference. It's like turning on a microscope. Then add utility. Nap width to a macro so you can sweep between narrower and wider. And map a mono toggle macro for instant mono checking. Here's what you're listening for when you hit play on a loop. You're listening for how bright the hats are compared to the snare. You're listening for how much 200 Hz bucks or thunk is in the break. You're listening for whether the break is wide or mostly mono and just feels wide because of ambience. And you're listening for how the transient snap sits relative to the bass. This is a big one. A lot of classic jungle breaks are not insanely wide in the low mids. If your drums feel huge but collapse in mono, that's a red flag you can catch instantly with a mono toggle. Step 6. Tag and store references by function, not by artist. Yes, keep the artist name if you want, but the primary label should be what it's good for. Break focused, bass focused, atmosphere and space, mix targets, and take it further. Make references searchable by the problem they solve. You can add file name prefixes like snarecot for aggressive 2 to 5 kHz bite, subtight for short controlled low end, ambi-wide for big stereo air without messy lows. Because when you're mid-session and you think my snare doesn't cut, you don't want to remember the name of an obscure 1995 white label. You want to search snarecot and be playing the answer in 5 seconds. In Ableton's browser, add your reference folders to places so they're always there. And use Ableton collections to color tag by category, drums, bass, atmos, arrangement ideas, mixdown targets. Also consider having an avoid tag. Some classics have incredible vibe, but are technically messy, distorted low end, brittle tops, weird stereo phase. Tag them as to not copy so you remember. Steal the energy, not the artifact. Step 7. Build a reference note system that you'll actually use. Create a MIDI track called REF Notes. For each key loop in your REF loops lane, create a MIDI clip with the same name. Then in the clip notes, write 3 quick takeaways. But don't write opinions like super punchy. Convert references into micro targets. Examples of micro targets would be: snare peak sits about 3 dB above the break body. Sub note length is about an eighth note at 170 BPM. Hat fizz starts mostly above 8 kHz. Sub feels mono below about 120 Hz. These are the kinds of notes you can act on. If your note doesn't imply an action, it's not a useful reference yet. Now let's add one more high-value concept. Use reference triads. When you're evaluating your drop, don't /beat against just one tune. Use 3 references. 1 drum-forward jungle tune, 1 bass-forward tune, and 1 atmospheric tune. That helps you triangulate a scene target and stops you copying one record's weird quirks. Step 8. The quick/beat routine you repeat while producing. Here's the routine. Every time you're working on a new track, export a quick bounce. 30 to 60 seconds is enough. Drag it into your track in the hub. Find a matching section in your reference. Drop to drop, intro to intro, breakdown to breakdown. Compare like with like. Now /beat with 3 checks. First check, utility gain matched. Second check, mono toggle and listen specifically for what disappears or gets smaller. Third check, spectrum, focusing on roughly 40 to 120 HC for low-end weight and shape, and roughly 2 to 6 KHC for snare and presence. Then, and this is the rule, every A/B ends with one action item. For example, snare needs plus 2 dB around 3.5 KHC. Sub is too long, shorten the decay or tighten, with a volume envelope and sidechain. Break is too wide, reduce width below 200 HC. Keep the air wide but the power centered. Transition isn't clear. Create a gap, a mute, or a pre-drop moment that makes the impact land. That's how referencing becomes production, not procrastination. A few common mistakes to avoid while you're building this. Don't reference only one track. Jungle is a spectrum. Use 5 to 10 references per substyle you're working in. Don't skip loudness matching. If you do, you'll chase loudness and destroy your transients. Don't warp lazily and then blame your ears. If a drum loop flams or smears, fix the warp. Or for drum-only clips, switch to beats mode. For break passages where you want tight micro-looping, beats mode with transient options can preserve crispness better than Complex Pro. Don't collect references without extracting why. If you can't write a one-line takeaway, it's not a usable reference yet. And don't compare the wrong sections. Intro versus drop tells you nothing except drops are louder. Match the moment. Quick pro tip, if you're also doing darker or heavier DNB alongside Classic Jungle, consider building a separate reference hub or at least a separate folder set for dark rollers. Your targets shift. You care more about sub cleanliness, kick-sub relationship, and reese movement. Use EQ8 in mid-side on references to check if the sub is mostly mono in the mid-channel. It often is. And notice where the air lives, typically in the sides above about 6 to 8 KHC. You can also put a glue compressor on your reference track just for monitoring density. No makeup gain. This audio version is shortened for playback.